we bring in Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, as they do every single week. Check them out, JiffyLubeCA.com, for big, powerful coupons. Lincoln, I hope you stayed at least a little bit dry yesterday. How are you?
Oh, I was waterlogged. Speaking of oak, I felt like an old piece of wood after yesterday. So I'm still drying out, but I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're breaking this game down this morning, and I guess the question going in, Link, is they now you look at it and you don't want to do revisionist history, but let's just be honest, fact, they have not beaten a team that has a 500 record this year. Baltimore was 3-0, and those are quality wins. You don't want to forget it, but was this just the manifestation of some problems that have been waiting to bite them in the ass?
I mean, to summarize, if you want to know what happened, it's quite honestly and quite simply the way Jack Del Rio said in his press conference after the game. They got out-schemed, they got out-coached. And of course, it's hard to simplify overall just that. But let's face it, there were times where, you know, through the defensive scheme, you had Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin out in coverage. These are pretty much rush ends. They're not pure outside linebackers. So that's not one of their strengths. That's actually one of their weaknesses. That's an occasion when you're out schemed. There was a time where, you know, the Kansas City defense only had backup corners and safeties on the field because they were depleted at defensive back, and the Raiders ran the ball. So that was a mix-up in scheme as well. So, I mean, there are a number of occasions here where, you know, you still have a young team. You're not in a bad position because you're 4-2 rather than 2-4 or anything worse. And you know what you have to do to get better. I mean, you got to go on the road against two teams in Florida, which hopefully you should beat because I think they're better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it still has to happen. And then come back for Denver November 6th.
Well, and Lincoln, when you look at this game, I mean, one of the strengths for the Raiders, they've been very solid with their running game this season so far. However, that was not the case yesterday. And I know that they're missing Latavius Murray, but did you expect that poor of a showing in their running game?
See, I think that's where one of the stats are misleading because, in my opinion, they haven't been solid in running game. They've been lucky, fortunate in the running game. There are times where they've been able to break big yard runs, and it adds to the stats. When you look at the overall stats and rush for average, you just assume that they've got a good running game. But the problem without having a true blocking tight end is that you can't seal the edges. Conversely, our defense has the edges exposed. If you saw the runs that Kansas City had the most success on, they were outside the tackles, outside the ends. There was nobody out there. The Raiders don't have the fortune of doing that. And so that's one thing that works against them. And two, because they don't have a pure fullback or a true two-back system, that they're very predictable. When they bring in Kirkland as a tight end who's an extra offensive lineman, when they bring in Andre Holmes and Alawale, then people know they're going to run. And yesterday what Kansas City did is they shot the gaps. So whether it was a safety or a linebacker, rather than sitting back and waiting for the play to develop, the moment they saw that formation, they would shoot their respective gaps and disrupt any type of flow to break up the run, stuff like that. So that's another case where they were out-schemed. So I know what the stats say, but I don't – the running game is not as consistent as I would like it to be after week six.
And how much of that, Lincoln, do you feel is maybe a little bit attributed to the injury issues they have on that offensive line?
It's a combination of the injuries, the offensive line. It's a combination because, you know, Austin Howard is a better pass blocker than run blocker. And yesterday he didn't have his best game either. But part of it's injuries, part of it's scheme, and part of it's just figuring out how to best utilize the players that you have. And I still think Musgrave and his staff are still trying to figure that out.
Lincoln Kennedy's with us on KHTK. You mentioned that they got out-schemed. Another thing about a game like yesterday in that kind of weather, you've got playoff conditions, Lincoln, and you got to win games like that with physicality. The Raiders aren't equipped for that. Is there a concern that that's going to cost them down the road?
Well, I mean, it's still early. You know, we still got a lot of football to be played. So when you talk about, you know, what type of concerns, the concern overall is the fact that you didn't beat a divisional opponent at home. You lost that opportunity. Now you get one more shot at it, and unfortunately it's going to be on the road. And I've said all along to you guys and everyone else I've talked to, I still think the Raiders are a playoff-caliber team. I'm not ready to anoint them the division because I don't think they're that strong overall. think they're a wild card capable team, but these are games where you got to have it. You got to learn to win.
Link, how did Derek Carr, well, how did he perform? We know he had a rough game, but talk a little bit about Derek Carr's performance. More importantly, I think what he can pull out of this game is a learning experience.
He wasn't as accurate as he should have, as he could have been, or has been in the past. There were a number of occasions where you would just hope that he had kept the receiver upright rather than throwing it low and forcing the guys to go down to the ground to catch it. So there are instances where you talk about these quarterbacks, or this quarterback in particular, Derek Carr, where you've got to play better in order for the team to succeed. So, I mean, he didn't have his – I've seen better games, let's put it that way.
Well, and we know Lincoln, he's excelled throughout his career against extra rush. When teams bring the blitz, he's very good against pressure. We also know what that means is that a lot of man-to-man coverage, and you have to make accurate throws as a quarterback. We know Derek Carr's accurate. So why is there a difference when teams drop more guys into coverage like the Chiefs did yesterday? Why does he lose his accuracy?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for it. I would say this. You know, in watching him, I honestly thought, because there were times where the Raiders had max protection, that they assumed the Chiefs were going to blitz. Mm. And more importantly, the Chiefs were in a read. They were dropping, eight or seven guys in the back, and they were playing zone because they had had coverage issues with their cornerback situation. Normally, they're playing a lot of man. They're a man press team, and they were expecting a lot of blitz. The Raiders didn't get that a lot of times. So, again, I think they were out-schemed and out-coached.
Is there anything to the idea that maybe they're just a better road team at this point than they are a home team, Lincoln?
No. Yeah, you can't make that assessment because you got to take the level of competition that you're playing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know that you mentioned Baltimore Ravens, but even watching Baltimore, I thought, you know, you look at Baltimore's win. I think they were in Cleveland, Miami, I can't remember who else was, but they weren't, you know, top-ranked teams, if you will, for Baltimore to get that 3-0 record before the Raiders played. The way I look at it is they're still a very young team. There's still a lot of football to be played. They got a lot of growing to do, and that's from coaches to players and vice versa. So this is one of those slip-ups that they wish they had over again. And unfortunately, with the weather being like it was yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs look like they played better in the weather than we did.
Yeah.
And it's in our backyard. So, that's another learning experience. And that's one of the things that I was shaking my head to. I was like, I can't even believe this. The Raiders look like the road team that can't play in these conditions, and this is their backyard.
Well, and unfortunately, Link, in the NFL, and as you get into the stretch run and then hopefully playoffs, elements factor in, whether it's rain or snow or wind. Do the Raiders have the team makeup to be able to play in those elements, or are they very much like a dome team that's playing outdoors?
I just think because they're young and they have yet to really – truly experience the elements like that, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, they played in snow in Denver and stuff like that, but I mean, when you talk about games like you saw yesterday, you're right, that is what you see towards the end of the season, fall and late winter and stuff like that, and it's a little different, but because they're so young, it's hard to just specify whether or not they're ready for it or they're capable of it. They haven't seen a lot of it. They're a Northern California team, and I guess you can make the analogy, the comparison, like with dome teams that come outside, how they stretch, you know. But until you experience it, like they experienced it yesterday, it won't have anything to learn from. I think that, on top of the fact that the coaching staff, you know, as I said before a couple times, was out-schemed and out-coached, that's a learning lesson for everybody.
When you go into your next matchup, what do the Raiders need to do on the road to be able to recover from this loss?
Beat the snot out of a team. I mean, that's just it. When you lose a game like this, it's sour, and you should make you hungry to come back and just beat the crap out of the next team. And they have that ability to do it. But if you go down there and show any inkling of struggling, or you take a step backwards, or you lose to a team that you should beat, because I'm going to say right now, the Raiders should beat the Jaguars. But if you lose that game, then now all of a sudden you're licking your wounds, and now all of a sudden you're 4-3, and this the division is getting away from you a little bit. So all is not lost, but, you know, it's even more concerning. So I think you just have to go out there and put your best effort forward and beat the crap out of the Jaguars.
Well, and Lincoln, when you look at it, they play the Jags and then they play the Buccaneers, both on the road. At this point after week six, both teams are 2-3, but they've been playing better as of late. What are they figuring out kind of as the season has progressed for them?
Well, I mean, everybody sort of gets into their rhythm after a month of football or so. And so, you know, the Jaguars lost a came back and won a heartbreaker yesterday against the Bears when they were down. That shows some resiliency and that builds confidence. And in Tampa Bay, you know, after their big win in Carolina, had made them feel a lot better about themselves. So I think they too are young teams that are still trying to figure their own. You know, for Jaguars, the most immediate sense, you know, the Jaguars have been stockpiling first round draft choices and premier players for quite some time, and just hasn't been able to put it together. They've got athletes that get paid over there, so they've got some players that can make some plays. But the Raiders are going to have to deal with a fearsome pass rush. They have to be on their game for that. And Derek Carr is definitely going to have to be accurate because you know, they're going to try to get after him quickly and put some pressure on him early.
Lincoln Kennedy talking Raiders with us on the drive. Lincoln, do you have any further details on the injury to Latavius Murray and maybe any idea when he's going to be back?
Turf toe is so hard to predict.
Yeah.
That's what they diagnose it as, turf toe. I remember having it's an awkward injury because it's just a sprain between the joints, and anybody knows anything about the foot, there's not a whole lot of room in there. It's bones and tendons and ligaments and stuff like that. It's a sprain between the joint, and it's so hard to heal. More importantly, it's easy to do over again if you know the wrong time you push it out. So what they create orthotics. They put orthotics in your shoes. Sometimes it's a hard brace to where it doesn't bend when you try to move. Unfortunately for a running back who has to cut and change direction, there's a lot of awkward actions or angles that you can do to just disrupt that injury. So I don't have a timeline as when he'll be back. I think it should be this week, but you just never know for sure.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, this is the type of thing you mentioned. It can just linger. I don't want to paint doom and gloom, but I mean, this is what Patrick Willis dealt with, and he then eventually just said, screw this, I'm out of here.
Yes. I've had turf toe in both feet, found a way to play with them, but wasn't as effective as I could have been. And of course, wasn't a running back at offensive tackle. So it is a pain. It is definitely a pain.
Jack Del Rio was asked again about whether or not he grabbed the headset from Ken Norton Jr. and calling plays. Now, this is a media thing, but it seems like there's a little smoke to this. Do you see Ken Norton Jr. finishing the season calling those plays?
I mean, you know, really, in all honesty, guys, it doesn't bother me who calls the plays as long as they work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, we can question politics, we can question schematics and stuff like that. But the fact is that when you take what is Carl Joseph listed at 5'10"?
Yes.
And put him, I mean, if he's lucky, I don't think he was 5'10". But anyways, 5'10", safety, and you're putting him on a 6'7" tight end. I mean, anybody could see that. That's an advantage for the offense, right?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of scheme. And so it's not so much the plays. And this is what we talked about a few weeks ago, guys. I'm not really sure if the scheme is ineffective or the players are ineffective because, let's face it, when you call something, you want to see if it works or not. And if it doesn't work, you go back to the drawing board. But more importantly, if the players or the matchup, for example, that height differential, it wasn't like the tight ends were doing anything that good. They were just running slant routes and using their body. There's nothing you could do when you're that small, that much size different. There's nothing you do to stop it. So that's a matter of scheme. So I don't care who calls the plays as long as whoever calls the plays, it works. So I really don't put that much emphasis into those types of things.
Well, what do you think the solution is for a scheme, like, you know, to scheme around a guy like Carl Joseph, who's obviously an explosive player that you'd like to have out there to make plays, but if you don't have a guy that can cover the tight ends in the passing game, what do you do?
Well, that's just it. That's the million-dollar question, if you ask me. I mean, because in all honesty, I think the Raiders have got a number of free safeties, but they don't have a pure strong safety. And that's the position that you want to have a taller guy for, strong safety, because primarily in most defenses, a strong safety will cover a tight end or a taller linebacker. And that's something the Raiders don't have either. So, you don't want to use Bruce Irvin or Khalil Mack, who are your taller linebackers, per se, and even though they're more defensive ends to me than linebackers, because then it's a mismatch. They're doing something that's foreign to them. So it becomes really odd. I was thinking that they would try to use Keith McGill. However, in their current scheme, if you bring in Keith McGill, you have to take out a linebacker, which means that offenses will notice they have an advantage with a light box, and they would run the ball at him, and he's not that good against the run. So, you know, you pick your poison. It's one of those things where you got to figure it out and got to have a remedy for it. But I do know this. Ken Norton Jr., as much as I love him, is a situational coach where he waits to see what the offense brings in, and then he sends in the defense and calls the defense according to that. And unfortunately for that, when people just hurry up you or just hurry up offense, no huddle offense, you can't switch in and out. So then you're caught with what you have on the field, and that can be a problem as well.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, obviously, Thursday night's game when the Broncos lost that one on the road, the Raiders move into sole possession of first place in the division. However, that changes yesterday. Both teams stand right now at 4-2. I'm just curious from you watching that Broncos game, what did you see in that loss? Because they have looked so strong, and that was a little bit surprising that they went on the road and lost that one against the Chargers.
Well, their offense let the rest of the team down. Look, the defense is pretty good, but the defense isn't going to pitch shutouts every night. So sometimes the offense has got to do its part by getting first downs, generating points. And the offense let them down. Didn't have a good game offensively, and then now, you know, they're reeling. And so you're going to take on some teams that are going to hit for some big plays on your defense, get some touchdowns. I mean, they're not going to run loose and rack up 500-600 yards on you, but – you know, if they have an average night or a good night with a quarterback like Phillip Rivers is, then you put your offense in a position where they've got to do their part, and it didn't do it by that time.
How much success do you think that the Broncos can have, Lincoln, when they have Trevor Siemian as their quarterback? I mean, long-term throughout the course of the playoffs and deep into the playoffs.
You know, Gary Kubiak's offense is not necessarily, you know, one of those Air Coryells that's going to, you know, throw for 500 yards. He's got a very consistently patient, sort of methodical type of offense.
Is the word you're looking for boring?
Yeah, well, I don't want to use it, you did, but it's fitting here. You know, the thing is, they run the zone read, they run the bootleg. I mean, come on, this is what you expect out of their offense. So they're not. They really want to keep a defense on the field that'll shut people down. They look to score 17 to 21 points a game, and they think they've got it, which in most cases they will. But if this team gets hot to where this defense does pitch a couple shutouts against some good teams, who knows? I mean, they won a Super Bowl last year doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So take a look. I mean, because let's face it, because with, you know, Osweiler and Peyton Manning in there, they weren't really lighting up the scoreboard then, but they won a Super Bowl.
You know, we talk about the Raiders, and the one common theme all year long has been a leaky defense. November 17th of last year, Aldon Smith was suspended for a year. He's allowed to apply for reinstatement 60 days before then. So that tells you September 17th. I've heard nothing out of this, and I don't want to get Raider fan excited about Aldon Smith coming in and, you know, wearing a Superman cape or anything, but is there any legitimate hope that Smith could at some point this year provide some help on that D?
Well, yeah, because I think he's a change up at pass rush. I mean, you could probably assume that if he comes back in a uniform, maybe Raiders used to have this called this NASCAR package, where they would have four defensive ends or defensive tackles. I mean, you know, one defensive tackle and three defensive ends down on the defensive line to rush the quarterback. And Aldon Smith would be able to help with that and move maybe Khalil Mack inside and work some games and stuff like that with Bruce Irvin. But it's another pass rush. And I think the Raiders definitely need that if they want to do their scheme, which is rush four and drop seven.
Lincoln, we always appreciate it. You know what? We forgot to ask you a non-Raider question. What is all this stuff with Golden Tate's celebration with the pom-pom saying that it's groundbreaking? Why don't people remember Terrell Owens grabbing the pom-pom? It's like that never, ever happened, Lincoln.
You know, I didn't hear anything about it, first and foremost, but I'm often reminded that NFL stands for the No Fun League. And they don't. They much rather, above all else, see their athletes rather than hear their athletes. And sometimes when their athletes make news in the wrong way, they're going to jump down on it and real quickly, because you can't. There's no way that you can tell me that someone shooting an arrow in the sky warrants a $10,000 fine.
That reminds me of my mom. She always used to tell me when I was little, little girls should be seen and not heard. What the heck is that? That obviously didn't work out for me, and it's not working out for the NFL either, Lincoln.
Well, I mean, you've got a platform to where you're in front of millions of people. You just scored, or you did something great. You want to celebrate. What's wrong with allowing that 5-6 seconds of jubilance? How much harm is it? But they... This is the world we live in, and that's the No Fun League at its best.
We always appreciate you, Lincoln. Thank you. You can hear Lincoln all week long, including with, of course, Grant Napier on The Nation. We will see you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
All right, take care. That is Lincoln Kennedy.